Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and welcome to the Thursday edition of my radio program. I hope your week has been going well, just enjoying the summer here in Florissant and keeping track of all of the happenings going on in the world today. Today, I'm going to do something a little bit different. Most of the time, I will read the news or play a soundbite about the current happenings in Iran or something pertaining to human rights and freedom. But this morning, I'm going to switch gears a little bit because I believe very strongly in the teachings of Scripture, the message of the Bible, and it's the heart and the soul of what I do here on the Cross in the Desert. It's not just speaking about human rights and speaking up for my Iranian friends, it's also the teaching of Scripture, the life-changing message of the Word of God, which is really where we find our hope and freedom, is when we give ourselves to the teaching of Scripture. The topic for this morning is a topic that is near and dear to my heart, and it is a message of compassion for a broken world. And the title of this morning's message is The Compassion of Christ in a Broken World. I think you would all agree with me that we live in a very chaotic, a very violent, a very hateful and broken world. And every day, most of us face the sorrows and the challenges of life. And that's where Christ comes in. If someone were to ask me to define who Jesus is, the word compassion is the first word that comes to my mind, or the word mercy. They're very closely related. And what is compassion? How would we define a good definition of compassion? Well, it's suffering with another. It's sympathy, sorrow for the distress or misfortune of another with a desire to help. So compassion isn't just about feeling sorry for someone's situation or just feeling their pain. It is also an action. It is a desire and reaching out to that person to show pity that you are suffering with them. And the Bible has a lot to say about the subject of compassion. And I want to spend a couple of minutes just reading some scriptures to you and give you just a brief introduction to what I'm going to talk about today. Well, as the Bible talks about love being the characteristic of what a Christian is, compassion, love, they're all derivatives of the same source. We as Christians are to emulate the compassion of Christ to a broken world. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." So therefore, just as you wake up in the morning and get dressed, you put on your clothes. And the Bible commands us to clothe ourselves with compassion. And so this is a command of Scripture. It's not an option. And if we're really honest with ourselves, do we always feel compassionate? Do we always feel the hurts and pains of another with a desire to help? And if we're honest, no, we don't. Because most of the time we are so centered in on our own problems. But the Bible says in Colossians 3:12, this is what you're to live like. Clothe yourselves with compassion. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, we see who God is. And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." So when Moses asked the Lord, "Show me your glory," the Lord caused his goodness to pass in front of him. And he says, "I will show hasid, or mercy, on whom I choose to, and I will have compassion on whom I will choose to have compassion." So we know that God is sovereign and that he chooses. This is something he chooses to do, to show mercy and compassion. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him." He will rise up to show his compassion. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 10, "They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat down on them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside spring waters." So we see very clearly, and there are many scriptures here, I could go through so many more. "Though he brings grief," Lamentations 3:32, "he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love." Just the Bible is replete over and over again on the subject of compassion. And we see this clearly in the ministry of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. You see Jesus in action, showing his love and compassion in healing, in raising the dead. And when he saw the crowds, I love what Matthew said. He had compassion on them. He felt their pain. He was moved by their brokenness because he knew they were like sheep without a shepherd. There is one particular instance in Matthew or Mark's gospel, and I love this passage of scripture, where Jesus encounters a man with leprosy. As the man with leprosy came, he knelt down in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. He said, "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean," he said. And I love what Mark writes. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. Notice that the Bible is very clear to articulate for us that Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion. When he saw the man with leprosy, he was moved with compassion. Now, lepers were outcasts in their days. Because of the disease and because of their looks and the problems they had, they were kept in special areas of the community, but were separate from the normal flow of community every day. And so people didn't want to get near lepers. They wanted nothing to do with them. But Jesus, of course, is far different. He was moved with compassion to heal the leper. And so we see in these various scriptures just this morning that the very center and the heart of who God is compassion. That he feels our pain. He desires to enter into our humanity and bring hope and healing. This is what the Bible is so clear about. And as I mentioned, people were so fearful of lepers and the terrible contagious disease. Lepers were treated as outcasts, separated from society. And yet we see Jesus, the compassionate one, was willing not only to heal this individual, but he reached out to him and he touched him. Jesus was willing to touch the lives of all men, regardless of race, regardless of social or economic standing. Jesus Christ was the compassionate Christ. He had time for everyone. He had time to touch the children who were brought to him. He had time to pray for them. He had time to bless them, to lay his hands on them. And so we see that as a response of who Jesus was, he was shunned by the religious elite of the day. The Pharisees became his critics and enemies. And Jesus answered his critics with powerful lessons on the value of individuals and soul. He rebuked them for putting burdens on the natural person. And he sharply rebuked them and told them that he had come to seek and to save the lost. But the Pharisees and the religious leaders didn't perceive themselves as sinful or lost. They were filled with self-righteousness. And so the Bible is very clear how Jesus interacted. He touched them. He touched the leper. He taught compassion by tears. He broke down and cried at his best friend Lazarus. He was just about to raise Lazarus from the dead and demonstrate his power and glory, but he felt the suffering and pain of humanity. But because of sin, there was brokenness and death, and we see that Jesus wept. He wept over the way his brethren were treated by the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the scribes. And we see that the greatest act of compassion is Jesus' willingness to die on the cross for our sins. This is the ultimate act of compassion. We not only see it in his touching and healing humanity, in his brokenness over our sin and over our condition, but Jesus willingly gave his life to be our Savior. He came to save. And this, as we see on the cross, is the greatest act of compassion in the whole realm of history. And so what is our reaction to who Jesus is and what compassion is? Our prayer should be, Lord, teach us compassion. If we want to know what a Christian looks like and what they are marked by, it is love. It is compassion. Jesus has left us with his mission to show compassion and love to a broken world. And we hear the often overworked phrase, I feel your pain. But then that's what part of what compassion is, that we feel the pain of suffering humanity and we're willing to reach out to a suffering people with the love and compassion of Christ. You see, radical hatred must be met with radical love and compassion, because that's who we as Christians are. And as we saw in the scriptures this morning, that Jesus is the compassionate Christ, the only hope for a broken world, he has left us with his word and with his spirit. And instead of being critical and being condemning and being filled with rage and anger over the evil in the world, the Bible says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with compassion, because the darkness and the evil cannot comprehend the true love and compassion of Jesus Christ. They hate the light because their deeds, their evil is exposed. And our response is not to fight fire with fire, but to overcome evil with good, with compassion. And of course it's risky. People will take advantage of our compassion. People will take advantage of the mercy and the love. But as Christians, we are marked with this characteristic. And it is the only hope for a broken world is the compassion of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, if you're listening and you are touched by who Jesus is, who God is, as a compassionate God, and you have never entered into a relationship with him, this morning that can change. You can call upon our compassionate Christ and cry out to him with your need, your brokenness. And the compassionate Jesus of the Bible has promised to heal our brokenness, to forgive every sin and wrongdoing we've ever committed, and to give us his life, to give us hope, to give us a relationship with the very God of the universe through him. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. This is our God, our compassionate God. Our compassionate God is not filled with rage and violence. He is filled with overflowing, unfailing love and compassion. Well, speaking of compassion, one of the directions I want to talk about a little bit this morning is the direction of my program. And as you know, if you listen to The Cross in the Desert, I feature a lot of stories by my Iranian friend, Paymaneh. And she writes about human rights in Iran. And we were talking about the direction we want this program to go in. And I believe that the Lord is speaking to us that this program is to be a beacon of hope for refugees and to feature more of their stories. Just about a week ago, I read to you the letter from one of the refugees about his status, about his fear of being deported. Well, Paymaneh and I have been discussing, we want to feature the stories of refugees on the cross in the desert to give them a voice, because there are just thousands, maybe millions of Iranian refugees who suffer every day waiting for a new place for freedom and hope. And I wanted to read to you this morning something that Paymaneh sent me from a man named Panham from Sweden. And he's just sharing his situation, his story. And Paymaneh contacted him and wanted to speak with him. And he shared his situation, and she wrote it down and sent it to me. So what I want to do is just share a little bit of this man's story. He's an Iranian refugee currently in Sweden. And Paymaneh is writing about him. And she says he's walked through mountains and jungles. He's taken trains and buses, that is Panham, with one backpack on his back after another. He has gotten rid of the prison, and he fled Iran, finding peace and freedom in Europe. That time, he was 55 and an asylum seeker. Since then, he is now 62, and Panham is in Europe. He's not married. He still isn't an asylum seeker. After he reached Europe with no mountains and jungles anymore, he has faced lots of storm and turbulence. He opened a file in the immigration office. He was not accepted. So 2 years of distress and worry for this man. And he opened yet another file. This time the interview was so good that it looked hopeful for him. But till now, since this interview, he still has not got an answer. And Panham is working. He has salary and permission for a job, but he has not been formally informed that he's been accepted by immigration. He does not really have many rights. He cannot get a driver's license. He cannot get married. He does not have any documents to travel, and he cannot get any travel letter yet. He is still an asylum seeker. All these years, Panham has trusted the Lord. He's served the church. He's worked for charities. But many times, he cries out in desperation and loneliness. Many times, Panham sheds tears of tiredness and hopelessness. Many times, just like Pamene, his soul is paralyzed with such desperation and hopelessness. People in his age are enjoying their retirement, resting in their own homes comfortably, watching their grandchildren playing and running here and there. Well, Panham is still considering what to do after he will finally get his formal settlement documents. What will he do at his age? And he still has the shadow of deportation following him until he is formally accepted. You know, this is just one in thousands of letters of refugees, Iranian refugees who are broken about having to leave their homeland to go somewhere else to find freedom. And this is just one story. Pamene has agreed to write many other stories. And what I'm going to do here in the Cross in the Desert is to keep you, the listener, informed about the plight of Iranian refugees. And really, all you need to do is to pray for them. They need our prayers. They need our love. They certainly need our compassion. Right before I begin reading the rest of my book, I had the opportunity to talk to one of my Facebook friends. She is a faithful listener to the program, and she writes under a pseudo name. She writes for Live Up to Freedom, which is Annie Cyrus, an Iranian lady who stands for hope and freedom and human rights. And she wanted to write about what's happening where she lives. She lives in Denmark, and she wanted to write about what's going on there and in the Christian community reaching out to Muslims. Because our response, as I've been speaking about compassion, is to show compassion and love to Muslims because they need the hope that is found in Jesus. And so she wrote a brief little story. Her name is Ghaffan. And she doesn't want to reveal her real name. This is her writing name. And I wanted to read to you her story about what's happening where she lives. She writes, "The more we hear Muslims claim they are growing in number, the more aggressively the world seems to grow towards the people. It is as if the people go around and believe that they are all demon spawns. Though if you are a Christian, you will have to acknowledge that your potential brothers and sisters are waiting for you to show them to Christ. Muslims, they were also created in the image of God, and even though many of their actions around the world seems to be going against everything good and decent, we should ask ourselves, by which right do we condemn the humanity in them? Yes, their ideology is no doubt against all humanity, but they always face angry and hateful Christians. How will they meet Jesus as their Savior if we are consistently always angry and hateful to them? After all, they are humans, and it is important to recognize them as such." Now, Ghaffan writes, "My town has a small ministry that goes out, reaching out like the first apostles did, not asking who you are, what you believe, but do you have anything that you need Jesus to do for you? Do you need healing? Do you want to meet him? Or do you at least want to give him a chance to show his love towards you? This summer so far, a lot has had a personal meeting with Christ. But what is even more amazing is at least 8 has had a personal encounter with Jesus and found that he is not the same as the Jesus who is mentioned in the Islamic scriptures. He is alive. He loves them, not because of what they can do, but because he is alive. They have found a living Savior and abandoned their slavery. And there are those that become such powerful Christians that they too go out in the streets. They risk it all because they have found the living Christ. And that's because some Christians have brought the love of God the Father to their Muslim neighbors. God is moving. So do not give up when you read that Islam is growing, because many are also becoming Christians, and the worldwide spreading of the true gospel continues on. My friend Gafon is writing simply a short story about what the Christian community is doing in Denmark, and they are going out showing the compassionate Christ to Muslims. When we hear about Muslims, our first reaction is they're all terrorists, and that's not true. Not all Muslims are terrorists. In fact, that stereotype is what keeps us as Christians from reaching out to them. And instead of being afraid and filled with fear, we need to be filled with the compassion of Jesus and reach out to our Muslim neighbors. Gafon, thank you so much for your good story this morning, because that's what the subject is about, the compassion of Jesus. I want you to hear a song right now that is really based on the teaching I've been bringing you this morning. This is by worship musician and leader Matt Redman, and it's a song called Mercy. Let's listen right now on the cross in the desert.
I will kneel in the dust at the foot of the cross where mercy paid for me, where the wrath I deserve, it is gone, it has passed, your blood has hidden me. Mercy, mercy. dust at the foot of the cross, where mercy paid for me.
Matt Redman singing about the mercy and the compassion of Jesus this morning on the cross in the desert. I was going back through the scriptures I was sharing with you about compassion, and I came across this one that I believe is speaking to someone this morning that feels hopeless, maybe even suicidal. And this is from Matthew's Gospel, the 20th chapter, the 29th verse. And it says, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Well, the crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. But they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. And verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him. I understand when we look at the Bible that there had to be definite signs and miracles to authenticate that Jesus is the true Son of God, the Messiah. And so God equipped Jesus to do those miracles. But it was much more than a sign of authentication, because we see here, as we see in all of the scriptures, Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes. You see, everywhere we read about Jesus, we see the word compassion, that he felt their pain, he pitied their condition, and he reached out and touched and healed them. And this is who Jesus is, a living Savior with compassion. And so this morning, for those of us that are broken and hopeless, Jesus will show his compassion. He will restore what is broken in your life, and he will give you hope once again. Speaking of hope, I have a beautiful little instrumental song, which is the song I always play before I read my book. And this is a song called Winds of Hope. We're going to listen to it, and I'll be back to read my latest book, On the Cross in the Desert. Thank you. Welcome to the live reading of my book, Finding Hope in a Future, Maral's Journey to Freedom. You know, we are coming to the very end of the book. It's been an incredible journey, and I want to thank you so much for spending time to listening to this live audiobook reading of a book that has truly transformed my life. I can't say enough about the opportunity to have written this book, to have spent 2 months on Skype with my friend Maral as she shared the intimate details of this journey. We are already toward the end of the book now. Maral has safely arrived in Germany and is finding now that final place, that final resting place. We're going to begin today reading chapter 10. It's called The Baptism. Maral and Parham took their final bus ride to the city of Battleburg in the province of Osnabrück, Germany. The bus pulled up and stopped at the front entrance of their new refugee center. It was a white, brick-colored, three-story building located on the outskirts of the Teterberg Forest. Maral's first impression is that, unlike the other facilities, this building looked like a hotel to her. Inside the building, Maral was assigned a private room, including a shower and bathroom. She would no longer have to share a room with other refugees. After putting away all of her belongings, Maral stepped outside on the front porch and took a deep breath, closing her eyes. The long, hard journey had finally come to an end today. It was January 5th, 2016. Maral remembered back to October 10th of last year when the nightmare first began with the police visiting her parents' home in Shiraz. It had been three difficult and grueling months on her journey to freedom. She gazed up to the heavens. The sky was filled with beautiful white fluffy clouds today, with the rays of the sun peeking through them. Standing on the porch all alone and gazing into the heavens, Maral was gripped by a special presence of God all around her. She knew in her heart that God had been faithful. He had been with her every step of the way. He had kept his promise. I had just arrived at the hospital for my afternoon shift and stepped into the cafeteria to enjoy an ice cream before starting work. I scrolled down my Facebook page and began reading the latest events in my friends' lives on the news feed. Suddenly, I was interrupted by a phone call on the Viber app. It was Maral. I swallowed the last bite of my ice cream and excitedly answered the phone. Maral, hi, how are you? Are you okay? A calm voice answered on the other end of the cell phone. Yes, Randy. We are both fine. We have arrived in Battleburg, Germany, and I will send you a picture. This new home is perfect. It is clean, and we even have a private room. I knew immediately from the sound of Maral's voice that everything was going to be okay. She sounded calm and relaxed. I was very happy to hear that she wasn't coughing like before. Wow. I'm so happy to hear this. You sound much better. The cough is gone and you are safe. God has truly answered my prayers for you, I shouted for joy. Yes, yes, he has, Maral confidently answered. The cough is better. Thank you, dear friend, for your prayers. There was a brief moment of silence, and then Maral began talking again. I wanted to tell you, Randy, I'm going to convert to Christianity. I know that I told you that I hate all religions, but your religion is a peaceful one. Your God has helped Parham and me. He has helped us in every difficult situation. He has answered our prayers when we were very upset and hopeless. Tears of joy flooded my eyes. I never thought I would ever hear these words coming from Maral, but once again, God had surprised me with incredible news. Yes, Maral, God is good. As I've shared with you before, Christianity isn't just another religion. Instead, it's a relationship, a love relationship with God through Christ. I believe that, Maral replied. I believe God is a God of love. In Iran, I saw nothing but hatred and violence in Islam. But I believe that the Christian God is different. He is a God of peace and love, not hatred and violence. Yes, he is, Maral. Jesus showed his love by healing the sick and raising the dead. He is compassionate and merciful. There is a church nearby in the hill close to the refugee center. Tomorrow I'm going to go to the service, and I will tell you all about it. I sat mesmerized after the call ended. My soul was flooded with such joy and emotion that I forgot about the time, and instead bowed my head in prayer, thanking God for opening Maral's eyes to his incredible truth and mercy. I remember back to the many times that I had shared the gospel with her on Skype. There had been good seed planted during our intense conversations. God had kept his promise to cause that seed to grow in Maral's heart. As I sat quietly reflecting on the wonderful news that Maral had just shared with me, I remembered the powerful promise, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Maral shook off the rain from her umbrella and carefully folded it up as she entered the front door of the Lutheran church. It was a rainy and cold Sunday morning. She had awoken at 8 a.m. and ate a quick breakfast and then got dressed. The church was located at the top of the hill just 20 minutes from her new home. She had decided to let Parham sleep late and attend the service by herself. This was the first time Maral had attended a church service, and she was a little nervous. The beautiful sound of voices singing and praising the Lord filled Maral's heart with peace. The fears and nervousness immediately melted away. Unfortunately, the people were singing in German, so she was unable to understand what they were singing, but the music and melody still spoke to her heart. Maral watched carefully and observed when the people stood up as the pastor spoke. Then she watched them sit back down again. She watched them pray, and when they bowed their heads, Maral followed them and did the same. She didn't feel uncomfortable. Instead, she had a strange feeling of belonging, as if she was meant to be there. She enjoyed the choir singing and watched the worshipers above her in the balcony. When the service was finally over, she walked to the entrance of the church and noticed the woman pastor shaking hands with everyone. She was very tall, with blonde hair and glasses, wearing a long blue and black robe. Maral walked up to shake her hand. "Hello, is this your first time with us? My name is Pastor Angela Schmidt." "My name is Maral. Yes, this is my first time. I'm from Iran." Pastor Schmidt's eyes widened with astonishment. "That's a long way, Maral. I'm so glad that you came today." Maral took a deep breath and swallowed nervously. "Pastor Schmidt, I want to know how to become a Christian. Can you help me?" Angela's eyes beamed with joy. "Yes, of course, I can help you, Maral. Why don't you come tomorrow to my office and we will talk?" A calm feeling filled Maral's heart and she shook her hand once again. "Yes, I will come tomorrow for sure and you can help me." Maral stepped outside and opened her umbrella back up. It was still raining and she had a long walk back home. Today felt like a new beginning for her. She was excited about what the future had in store for her. Tomorrow could be the most important day of her life. Maral stepped into Pastor Smith's office and was amazed by the tall bookcases towering above her desk. She sat down at the table and gently touched the beautiful bouquet of red roses sitting at the corner of her desk. Near the center of the desk was a small laptop computer. Maral sat quietly for a few moments. She heard the door behind her click, and Pastor Angela Schmidt hurriedly walked in. "Forgive me for being late. It's been a busy morning," Pastor Schmidt said, taking a deep breath. Maral stood up, and they both shook hands. Today, Pastor Schmidt was dressed in a soft pink sweater and brown khaki pants. She sat down in her chair across from Maral and relaxed back in her seat. "I want to welcome you to our church, Maral. You've come all the way from Iran," you said. Yes, Pastor Smith, I travel with a group of refugees. Wow, that's a really long way. Why did you come? Merle took a deep, nervous breath. Memories of that day still haunted her mind, even though she was now free and safe in Germany. I had come home from university one day and saw the police at my parents' house. My brother told me later that they had confiscated my laptop. I didn't know exactly why they were there, except they may have found out that I was part of a computer group speaking out against the government. I also had a few American Facebook friends on Facebook. Pastor Schmidt shook her head and folded her hands. I see. I understand the government in Iran doesn't allow for freedom. You can't disagree with the government, and if you do, you face arrest and imprisonment. That's right, Merle answered. That's very unfortunate. So you traveled more than 1,000 miles to begin new a life of freedom. That's wonderful, Merle. Is your family still in Iran? Merle bowed her head in despair. Yes, I miss them so much. I worry about them. Pastor Schmidt gently touched the top of Merle's hand to comfort her. She could see the sadness in her eyes. We will certainly pray that the rest of your family will be able to join you one day. Merle raised her head back up. She wiped the tears from her eyes. Thank you. Pastor Schmidt relaxed back in her chair and folded her hands. You mentioned to me that you want to become a Christian. Is that right? A smile broke out across Merle's face. Her eyes beamed with joy. Yes, whenever I've gone into a church, I feel peace. I never felt that way in Iran. All I saw was hatred and violence, and that is all because of Islam. There is no peace or freedom. It is different with Christianity. I feel love and acceptance. My friend Randy explained about Jesus whenever we met on Skype. He told me, Merle, God has a future for you. He promises you hope and a future. Pastor Schmidt nodded her head in agreement. Your friend Randy is right. He's a good friend. Yes, Merle quietly answered. Pastor Schmidt leaned closer across the desk to Merle and folded her hands. That's true, Merle. God is a God of hope. He does have a future for his people. Obviously, he has brought you here because he does indeed have a plan for your life. He is also a God of peace. You say you felt peace whenever you entered a church. God's peace is a wonderful gift he gives his children. The world today is filled with so much violence and evil that it's almost impossible to find peace. But when you seek after God, he promises to meet you and give you his peace. Merle kept her eyes focused on Pastor Schmidt. She was listening intently to every word that she was saying. It isn't easy being a Christian, Merle. Many religions will hate you and persecute you because of your beliefs. You witnessed that in Iran. However, Christ will always be with you and give you his love to respond to the evil that surrounds you. He understands hatred and violence. The religious leaders had him crucified because he claimed to be God. Following Jesus is not easy, but I can tell you from my own experience, Merle, that there is nothing else I would rather do in this world but to take care of God's people and teach his gospel. Pastor Schmidt paused and opened up the pages of a Bible sitting next to her on the desk. She reached across and handed it to Merle. Merle took the Bible. I marked that page for you. Can you please read that verse of scripture? Merle gazed down at the Bible in her hand and began slowly reading it out loud. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. Merle looked back up at Pastor Schmidt. Her eyes were filled with hope. That's beautiful. Pastor Schmidt nodded her head in agreement and took the Bible out of Merle's hands. 30 years ago, a young man shared that verse with me. My life changed forever on that day, and that man today is my husband. Pastor Schmidt leaned closer to Merle on the table and gently held her hands. There is no greater love in the world than the love of Jesus Christ. He willingly died on the cross to forgive all of your guilt and shame. Then 3 days later, he rose again, victorious over death. He is our living Savior. He died to forgive our sins, to give us peace, to give us a new life. I have no doubt that God brought you safely here. He indeed has a plan for your life. He wants you to know him in a very personal way. The way you become a Christian is to say to God, I believe that you sent Jesus from heaven to forgive my sins. I believe you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for my sins and rose again. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive all of my sins and come into my heart by faith. Pastor Smith gently removed her hands from Meral's hands and relaxed back in her chairs. It's that simple, Meral. If you mean that from your heart, Jesus will come into your life and you will never be the same. You will become his child, a beautiful daughter of the King. Pastor Smith could see the joy and excitement in Meral's eyes. I want you to go back to your home. I will have my secretary give you a Bible. I want you to read the literature. And if that is what you believe, that in a few weeks we will have a very simple and intimate baptismal ceremony. Thank you, Pastor Schmidt, Meral said, standing up. Pastor Smith tightly hugged Meral. I'm so happy God brought you to us. I look forward to you becoming a member of our little church. A tiny tear trickled down Meral's cheek. When you explained the Bible to me, I could feel that peace again. I feel like I've finally come home. Now, there is just a few more pages in chapter 10, and the story will be complete. But I want to save that to Monday and just spend a few minutes left in our broadcast today to just thank you for praying for Meral during her journey. You know, on my radio program, I could go back in the archives and find those programs from 2015 and early 2016 when I was asking my listeners to pray for Meral. Do you know that your prayers changed her life forever? Do you know that? When I think about the promise of Scripture that God says he has a hope and a future, I remember as if it was yesterday. I could see the expression on Meral's face when I was on Skype with her while she was still in Iran, and I read that verse to her. There was this expression of almost like, is this really true? Can I really believe this? I remember sharing it with her. And I remember when I first got the idea for writing this book, I said, it's really easy. I have to entitle this book around this verse that changed Meral's life. Jeremiah 29:11, and in a couple of minutes, the phrase finding hope and a future came to me, and I thought, that's it. Finding hope and a future, subtitle, Meral's Journey to Freedom. This is Meral's story, but this can also be your story. This promise is not just for people like Meral, it's for you. And God is saying to you today, I have a hope and a future for you. Think about it. Hope. Hope. We live in a world of brokenness and hopelessness. And the God of the Bible, who gave Meral hope, wants to give you that same promise of hope this morning. This little story about Meral can one day become your true story. It can be your anthem. You see, because God is no respecter of persons, this beautiful promise he gave to his children of Israel thousands of years ago is a promise for you. Beautiful scripture. Write it down, Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. Read it, pray it, talk to God about it. He indeed is a God of hope that gives his children a hope and a future. I want to thank you so much for spending time with me today. Thank you, dear Ava, for listening today. Thank you. Continue to pray for my dear Iranian friends. They need your prayers, They need your love and your compassion. God bless you. I will see you Monday on the next Cross in the Desert. Have a great weekend.
Oh, glory, glory.